now about to witness the strength of Aftermath.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. This is Tom McCaffrey, LE2B. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Please donate to our Patreon and all that fun stuff. And buy Silk City Hot Sauce, our sponsor. It's the greatest hot sauce I've ever had. And if you don't buy it after that endorsement, I don't know what to tell you. So we have returning guest, screenwriter and former comedian Tyler Tice. Give it up for him. Yeah.
Yay.
How are you? Thanks for coming back. I know last time was kind of like a hurried pod.
I'm good. This one might be a hurried pod too. So.
It will, but that's I found that that's what people kind of like. I think they get kind of tired of.
You're not Joe Rogan.
Right. Those 4-hour podcasts. Do you listen to podcasts? I mean, other than this one,
I listen to Bret Easton Ellis's sometimes. I listened to his when he was reading the shards, like he did a chapter of his book every week. Yeah, it was really cool. And then I would listen to some of it. And that's about it. My wife listens to a lot of podcasts. So if I'm in the car with her, I listen to it.
I listened to Bret Easton Ellis's too for a little bit. I'm really into pop culture and stuff like that. And
yeah.
I love the dissection of pop culture, and he is like a master of that.
Yes.
Are you into that at all?
Yeah. I love it. You ever listen to him with Quentin Tarantino? I feel like those are the best ones when he has Quentin on.
When Bret Easton Ellis has him on?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I ever have, but I've listened to Quentin Tarantino on other podcasts, and he's like, I don't know, he almost is like, he has Tourette's or something, like pop culture Tourette's. He just can't, he's one of those guys that like, he's almost borderline a comedian because he just has so many ideas in his head, and he doesn't know which one he wants to get out first, you know what I mean? He's just kind of a fountain of knowledge of like,
on the podcast, he mentioned that he could, when he was younger, he would just memorize entire movies. So I think he has like a photographic memory. So he just kind of takes it all in. And him and Brett going back and forth with their pop culture knowledge is just insane. You know, they both grew up in LA at the same time, too.
Yeah.
Same movies.
Yeah. What a weird. And they both had very separate, very different LA experiences, right? Like Bret Easton Ellis kind of grew up in like that fast lane, like the rich Hollywood.
Yeah.
LA. Right. And Tarantino kind of grew up. I don't know where is it, but almost in the Valley or something.
Bret Easton Ellis is from like the rich part of the Valley. Quentin Tarantino is from Torrance, but he grew up with like a single mom who was like a nurse or something, you know.
Yeah.
Dropped out of high school when he was a fucking freshman.
I also love listening to Tarantino because I'm really into movies and stuff, and he has such a vast knowledge of movies. He knows like everything about movies. Like, every now and then he'll be like, and you know what movie I love? And it'll be some weird, like mainstream movie that's not good. And I'm like, how? Like, that's a movie. Like, he'll love these like Kurosawa, like Fellini movies. And then he'll be like, oh yeah, Secret of My Success with Michael J. Fox. It's great. And I'm like, what? What are you? That's not a good. So it's weird. It's almost like he's on the spectrum, or do you know what I mean? Like, he loves
Mask of Zorro. That's one of the best movies ever made. And you're like, what?
Yeah. So, all right. So we were going to talk about, obviously we talked before, about your movie, The Day Shift on Netflix. Everyone check that out. I know that I'll finally get some press out about this movie.
Yeah. Please watch it
on this podcast. Yeah. This will finally get the word out. And which is a horror comedy. We were talking about how you were really into horror, and we talked about like vampire movies and like specifically vampire hunter characters. So this one I suggested we each pick our top 4 haunted house movies, because you said you're really into haunted house movies.
I like haunted house movies. You mentioned slashers. I'm just not a fan of slashers.
I won't go too into that. So is there a specific reason, or is it just, you know, they're just kind of cheap and they're always the same thing?
I just don't like the formula. It's just kind of, you know, you've seen one that it's just a guy walking around killing people. I don't know. I feel like some of them are cool. Like I like Nightmare on Elm Street, but I've never been into the Halloween movies. Never really been into the Friday the 13th movies. I watch them, you know, they're fine.
You didn't even like Halloween 1?
It was okay. Yeah, I'll watch it. I enjoy it, but I just watched the most recent one, and I really didn't like it. But
was that Halloween Kills?
Halloween Kills. I guess there's Halloween Ends out now. But yeah,
right. I am not buying that for a fucking second. This Halloween ends bullshit. I love when they do that. That was a big trope in horror movies. They'd act like this was the end. And it's like, do you remember when they did it with Friday the 13th?
Oh, yeah.
The Jason final chapter.
Go to hell or, and
well, that too. But remember, they had part four, the final chapter.
Yeah.
And then it was like, wow, this is it. And then guess what? Like 10 months later, it was a new beginning.
They end when they run out of money, when they were not making money anymore.
So I just don't. But I will say, I think you're right about the slasher genre, and they're almost borderline porn sometimes. Yeah, these
exactly. You kind of have a story in between the kills.
Yeah, and I think they got ruined by just they were so easy to make, and so people were just making just horrible knockoffs. Sure. But
well, okay, that's what Friday the 13th was. It was basically a knockoff of Halloween, and
yeah, totally. And it's you know, it's not like this is weird. So I remember watching them when I was a kid. Like we were just obsessed because we were so little, and it was it was taboo and terrifying. But you're right. Like when I look back and I'm like, we got so excited about like the fifth one, and it's like, what did we expect this was going to be? It was just like, oh my God, he's like murdering them again. And some of them, it is kind of, I'm not into like gore and stuff. So sometimes it's just the kills are so disgusting. Yeah, you know?
I agree. I mean, like I get like having cool kills and like creative kills, and it's fun, but like at the end of the day, like who really cares? Like it's not.
I've looked online where some people put up videos where they're like, these are the most creative kills of all the Friday the 13th series. And I'm like, that's kind of borderline some, you know, in the closet, Jeffrey Dahmer shit. Like if you're like putting together a collage of the best kills from Friday the 13th, like something's like your life is not going right.
You had more as a kid.
So this is just a funny sidetrack thing. So years ago, I love those movies mainly because I think they're kind of funny because they're so stupid. But I made this comedy video that was kind of based on a joke I had, and everyone go look it up on YouTube, where it was because Camp Crystal Lake was the camp for Friday the 13th. And so it was the skit was it was me and two other guys were the owners of Camp Crystal Lake. And it starts out the first summer. We're like really excited about having a camp and we can't wait to see how it goes. And then we cut to like all these people getting murdered from Friday the 13th. And we cut back to us like the next like fall, you know, we're like, what happened? Like, everyone got killed. And so basically we keep at the meetings, we keep discussing all the murders and we just keep the camp open every year. And one of us is like, I think we should shut the camp down. And we're like, why? Why would we shut? So the joke is like, why?
This is our year, guys. This is our year, fellas.
But like, there was like 15 of those movies. And I was always like, when are they going to shut the camp down? Like, it's not working.
Well, then in one, he went to like Manhattan. There was Jason Takes Manhattan. And then there was like Jason Goes to Space in one, I think.
Yeah, there was Manhattan. That was surprisingly bad. Half of it's not even in Manhattan. They film like one shot in Manhattan.
They probably filmed in Vancouver or something.
I think they did. And then most of it is on a a boat or something. But anyway, we don't. Let's get into these movies. I can talk all day about this. Okay, so let's the top four haunted house movies of all time. Let's see what your first one is, and then I'll do my first one.
I'm just gonna go with Paranormal Activity. That is
okay.
The first one. I remember seeing it. I saw it with my now wife when she was my girlfriend. I saw it on that movie theater on the Upper East Side.
What did you see it like on an opening night?
It was close to opening night. I remember someone I worked at this restaurant. I don't know if you know, it's the Mustang Grill.
Yeah.
On the Upper East Side on like 85th and 2nd. I remember some kid that worked there told me he saw it. It was really scary. And I remember seeing it and it scared the shit out of me at the time. Like it was like a real scary movie.
And that was very revolutionary, right? It was like they made it for like $10,000 or something.
And I enjoy found footage. I know it's cheesy and it's played out, but I feel like if you do it right, it's nice.
All right. So I only saw the third one of that.
Yeah.
How does it? And by the third one
was the prequel one, I think. Wait, was that the one that's like takes place in the 80s?
I think so. And it's the one thing that kind of grabbed me that got me to want to see it was there was a scene where they're in the mirror saying Bloody Mary over and over. Because you remember that myth where if you say Bloody Mary four times, Bloody Mary kills you.
Yeah.
and you know, That's so ridiculous. I still, to this day, would never even attempt that.
Fuck no.
Right? Like,
I tell my kids about that too, and they won't. Yeah, no.
It's like I wouldn't even want to, like.
Why risk
tempt
it?
That? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But isn't that ridiculous?
There's no upside to it. There's no, you're not like, I did it. I blame
you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just feel like no good can come of that. But that was the one. But by then they had a bigger budget. So that one, how did it, it looks okay, even though it's just.
I mean, it looks like it's supposed to look. It's like, it's like these people, they're a couple, things are going on in their house. So like, we're going to set up cameras. And I think that's important when you have a found footage. It's like, why is this recording? Because sometimes it gets ridiculous. Like just someone walking around with it. They're like, I like film. I'm going to walk around with a camera, but it's right. Like they set up the cameras to try and capture this stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the initial. And it's just, it's, I don't know why, like it just always, it, the way it unravels and the things that happen, it just always scared the shit out of me.
And what, how they basically start seeing just things moving while they're asleep. And
More and more stuff happens when they're asleep. Like there's like a, like the, they always will like stand up at the edge of the bed and you know, they'll fast forward through it and they'll kind of just be like standing there. Like the girl will end up outside. There'll be like weird shadows. I haven't seen it in a while. And I went to watch it recently because it was on Prime and now it's not. So I don't know if they took it off for Halloween, but I did.
They have. Why would they take it off for Halloween, you think?
Where people will pay for it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that must be. You know what? I think I'm going to watch it now because I never. I think it was. I think Blair Witch turned me off of found footage for a while. Just because I guess I saw it too late, but and I saw it in the middle of New York City at like 3 p.m. So I don't know how scary that's going to be. What did you think of Blair Witch?
I mean, I remember liking it when I saw it. I probably haven't seen it since. I think that was the summer of like my freshman year of college. I remember going home and seeing it with like my girlfriend or something.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I thought out of all the found footage ones that, you know, I think Paranormal Activity, the original, did it the best.
Yeah. And they
just saw another one that was called The Marked Ones. And it was like, it kind of takes place in LA with like these like Hispanic kids. And it kind of like, it's kind of
a found footage.
But it's cheesy because it's like the guy gets a camera for his birthday and he just starts filming everything. That's what it's kind of takes you out of it.
Yeah. Have you ever seen those movies? It's like, I think they do see with VHS. Have you ever seen that?
Yes,
those?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are found footage, right?
Yeah. Those are found footage. Some of them get a little ridiculous in that.
They do. You're right. Sometimes they really stretch why someone's filming this. Blair Witch was like that. She just kept filming and you're like, well, I mean, what if you were lost in the woods? I mean, what?
Like, keep filming. That would be my last thing that I would care about.
Right. Put the camera down and fucking help us get out of here.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's all right. So my first one is, I mean, it's not technically a house, but it is a haunted. So The Shining, obviously like a big go-to, because I feel like that's always the movie that when you're talking to anyone about horror movies, that's like one of the go-tos. People who aren't even into horror, they're always like, oh, The Shining. And you've seen that, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. Certain scene, like I always think about the scene where like they walk in and the guy's like in there with like a stuffed bear or something.
Doing
something sexual.
It's really interesting too. Cause you know, it's like Stanley Kubrick making a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And you know, Kubrick is already, I think we talked about this last time, like, you know, Shining was his only horror movie, but I feel like a lot of his movies are just kind of scary to begin with.
Yeah, they have that kind of like even like Clockwork Orange or Eyes Wide Shut, it's kind of has that ominous feel to it.
Yeah, it's ominous and you can tell there's just something, like something's like off. There's always like a vibe of like there of danger, do you know what I mean, where you're like Clockwork Orange especially, because you just know it's going somewhere really bad. I remember being upset, wanting to see Clockwork Orange, and I was like 14 and seeing it. And I mean, look, I just watched it recently and I'm like, I should not have been. That's a scary fucking movie. I mean, like it's not a horror movie, but it's scary.
Yeah. It's disturbing too. It's just kind of takes you to a dark place.
Right. And so I guess that's why The Shining is similar. It's not really like a gore horror movie, but it's just the whole movie. You're like, you feel unsettled, right? Yeah. Which is sort of tiring to watch an entire 2-something-hour movie where you just feel like a sense of dread, you know?
The impending sense of dread.
Do you have any other scenes that you remember specifically from that? That did you see that young or did you see it older?
Probably both. I remember seeing it younger and older. And
do you recall like what you like an effect it had on you young or
just the you know, that's the, it's kind of one of those in dread inducing movies where it does make you feel unsettled. It does make you like kind of, you know, it's what we talked about last time. There's no jump scares in that. That's just kind of makes you scared. Like
there's like one jump scare. It's basically the guy, Dick Halloran, the caretaker guy, comes back, Scatman Crothers, because he has The Shining, and I guess the kid contacts him.
Remember, he's like in his room in Miami, and he has that poster behind him of like the naked chick.
Yeah, the naked black chick with the afro, and then it cuts to the TV, his view, and it has another painting over the TV of another hot naked black chick. Yeah, that was a really interesting choice by Kubrick. Have you
seen that Room 237 movie? It's like a documentary on The Shining.
I've seen a little bit of it. I feel like I should have been more into it than I was.
Yeah, it kind of got boring real quick. You're like, okay.
I think they made some valid points. I just started thinking like, I don't know. I feel like you could find, I think there were things that were valid. If people don't know, it's a documentary about The Shining and they're kind of going through all like the symbols and imagery that they think Kubrick put in. First of all, this is a true thing, and I guess they talk about it, where you've probably heard it, where the architecture is totally not possible in the hotel.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, yeah.
Which I was always like, when I heard people say that, I was like, what does that mean? What are you talking about? Like, who's even noticing that? But then I was thinking, like, I guess that is part of the unsettling, that makes you uneasy about the movie is that's how great Kubrick was, that I think he made you even feel uneasy, like on a subconscious level, like you just knew something was off about, you're like, I'm not even aware of what's off, but like something is off here. And
in that same respect, the architecture was off on the Full House or Married with Children too.
Yeah, you know what? That's true. Yeah, there's a lot of unbelievable architecture in pop culture, in movies and TV. Yeah, that they did. Because that was the thing about the movie that annoyed me is I was like, I think that there was a lot of stuff that they were like, well, he did this on purpose. He put this here. Like there's one where like the kids' stickers are on the door, like the bathroom door. And then like Dopey is missing after he passes out. And that means he's not like a stupid kid anymore. And I'm like, maybe it's like a continuity error. The guy fucked up or something.
And there was a lot of stuff about Native Americans in it that I don't know. Like maybe he didn't put it in there. Like, I don't know.
I mean, they talk about the moon landing stuff too. Yeah. Remember like how the kid has like
the Apollo shirt. Yeah.
Right. And there, you know, because the whole rumor that he was the one that did the moon landing film, Kubrick. Have you heard that?
Yes. Yeah. He filmed it in some studio in Burbank or something.
What do you think of that?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I heard those sides. Like, I hear it. Like, I hear people talking about, like, okay, that makes sense. But, like, I don't know. That seems to go.
I feel like it would be easier to just go to the moon than do that.
I mean, it is weird that in 1969 we had the technology to go to the moon, but we didn't have like color TV. I don't know.
Yeah, that is a little odd, but I don't know. Whatever. I feel like I've never heard any other evidence beyond like that it was an urban legend. Okay, so yeah, that was mine, The Shining. Obviously, that's a big one. What's your next one?
Okay, it's not. It's actually a TV show. I don't know if you've ever seen the Channel Zero TV series. It was on Sci-Fi for a few years.
I don't think so. No,
you should check it out. I own the whole series on DVD. But the second season was called No End House. It was all the seasons are like six episodes. They take creepypastas from the internet and they kind of expand that into series. It's by this guy Nick Antosca, I think is how you pronounce his name.
This was called Channel Zero, the series.
Channel Zero is the series, yeah. And there's four seasons, and then before it got canceled. And each season they'll take a creepy pasta, like I guess it's like an internet legend, something that's on the internet, and then they'll expand it into a TV show. And it's usually like six episodes, so it'll be like kind of like a 6-hour movie. And the second season was called No End House.
Okay.
And what it was is these kids, there's like a haunted house that travels around. And once you get, it's like a pop-up. And once you get like notice of it, you go in and no one's ever made it through the whole house. So like you go into like this haunted
house. Because they die or they leave?
No, it's just too scary. It's just too scary. So no one makes it. And these four kids go in together. And I haven't seen it. I should watch it again. But I believe they make it through the whole house and they come out and they go back to their lives. And things are weird. Things are different. Like one girl's dad died and she comes home and her dad's there. And
really
realize they're still in the house and they've been in the house the whole time.
Oh, wow. Wait, when did this come out?
It started in 2016, I want to say, was the first season. And this
what was it on?
It was on Sci-Fi Channel. And now it's on Shudder. If you get Shudder, they have all the seasons on Shudder.
Really?
Yeah, it's really cool.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, the first season was, what was the fucking first season? It was about some show that all these kids that are now grown up, they go back to their hometown and they start talking about the show, but it was never on. And they remember it. It's like the show with the Captain's Cove or something, the show with pirate puppets. And they remember it being really creepy. Like, I remember one episode where they're just screaming and bleeding. And then their parents were like, you never watched that show. It was just, you were just watching static on TV, but they just remember this show. And they kind of expand. And there's like a tooth monster or something.
Is it like, is it pretty scary or is it like,
yeah, it's
like
actually really scary. And then the fourth season was, it was the Pretzel Jack. It was like that. This woman can create doors with her mind, and she has a secret, imaginary friend, but comes to life, and its name's Pretzel Jack, and he's like this, what are they called? The guys that can twist around and shit, and he like goes around and murders all the people that she wants him to murder.
And so, were you like a Twilight Zone guy?
Yeah, I like the Twilight Zone. I remember I always watched the marathon on on New Year's.
Did you ever watch like when they rebooted it? I mean, like, because they've rebooted it like a few times.
Didn't Jordan Peele reboot it recently?
He did, yeah. And I love The Twilight Zone. I like Jordan Peele. But you know what? I would have watched. I feel like they made it really hard to find. I was just like, I tried to find it and they made it really hard. It's weird with all this new technology and streaming, everything available. You would think it'd be easier to find things. I feel like there's a lot of times I just can't find things now.
It's like, almost too vast, too.
I mean, I put in Boogie Nights last night to search. Yeah. I wanted to watch it, and it wouldn't come up anywhere. And I'm like, Boogie Nights? I can't fucking find?
I think it's on HBO Max. I think I watched it recently.
I looked on HBO. They might have taken... You know, they're always taking movies off.
And it'll pop up on a different one.
Right. Then, they're always like, get ready. This is going away forever. You know, it'll be like the movie fucking Soul Man. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be able to live without Soul Man. That's cool though. So Channel Zero was and No End House. Zero,
No End House was the second season.
All right, yeah, I'm definitely gonna check that out.
Yeah, I don't know. I usually like and the thing about streaming networks too is I'll like cancel them, and then like all of a sudden like I'll be like, oh, I want to watch something on Shudder. I'll reorder it for a month, and then I'll watch whatever I need to watch and cancel it again.
Well, I would do the thing where they're like, you have, you know, I got lured in by one of those like serial killer, the Hillside Strangler ones, and they were like, I started watching and then they're like, for more episodes, you have to subscribe to this. And I was like, oh, fuck. And so I keep subscribing to things. And then, you know, and this is what they're banking on. I just forget.
Yeah, oh, that's how they get you.
So then like they're like, you can cancel at any time. And it's like, if you remember.
A lot of times I'll do the free thing. Like I wanted to watch Severance. So I ordered Apple TV, and then you just cancel it once right away. And then you have it for a week. And I watched Severance in like 2 days. And I realized there's nothing else on Apple TV. I tried Ted Lasso, and I'm like, how is this the best show? This isn't funny at all.
I do not like Ted Lasso. I've had so many conversations about this where like I finally figured it out. It's because you know, I'm like a Gen X kid, and I grew up with like the humor that it was very snarky and a little bit mean-spirited and just kind of like loaded with
it doesn't need heart. Like I like Married with Children and Seinfeld and Always Sunny.
But that's like out now in comedy. Yeah. It's kind of like, oh, it's all about like, you know, being like a happy-go-lucky guy and not being, you know, a jerk and being thankful. And but I was like, really? I'm sarcastic. I think it's funny when people are kind of not like overtly mean, but when it's sort of like sarcastic, like, you know, like, yeah. Bill Murray was like my guy growing up. A lot of people's, but that's not really in anymore. Yeah. I've noticed
Chevy
that.
Chase. I always loved Chevy Chase.
Right. They're exactly. They always they had like
Chevy Chase. He's a terrible person.
Well, he became just the worst person in the world, but he's an interesting thing. Cause he, you know, it's weird. He got canceled, not for really doing anything except just being an asshole.
Yeah. Which was fine at one point.
Like, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was like cool to be an asshole in the '80s and nineties. And then all of a sudden it's like, no.
The problem was he stayed that asshole. You can't, it's not a great look older to be a bitter. And Bill Murray was more always like, he wasn't really an asshole. He just was like, he was just like a smart aleck. He just always had like a funny line to say to, like, he never took anything seriously. And he was always really aloof. And he was always, you know, you could tell he thought he was like the most clever guy in the room. But he wasn't me. Everyone kind of liked him, you know? So, yeah. And those are all the people I grew up with. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, I grew up on like the show MASH, you know, and like my parents loved that. And I don't know if you watched that, but Alan Alda's character was always kind of like a trickster guy who was always like, you know, trying to bend the rules and kind of doing, you know, cheating the system. And then I remember like one time I like kind of did something like that young. And my parents got really mad and I'm like, well, this is what you've been showing me.
The Hawkeye does.
Yeah. So that wasn't a good excuse. Okay. So, all right. My next one is Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah.
The new one. No, I'm just kidding. Did you see the new one?
I did see the new one. It wasn't good at all. It was everything that was fun about the old one was gone.
Right. So have you, so the old one, I Hold didn't on. See.
Yeah. On a podcast. My wife's handing me a fucking piece of Tupperware up in my office.
Oh, okay. That's like a horror movie in itself.
Yeah.
So I was saying, so it came out when I was like 9.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it in the theater, but it was one of those things I remember.
What year did Poltergeist come out? Was that like 84?
82.
Oh, is that long ago? So I was 3.
Yeah. So like, it came out, I think it might have even been the same weekend or within a week of E.T. Yeah. And I remember like, so Spielberg didn't direct Poltergeist, but you know his name was on it.
But they claim he did. Apparently,
yeah, they do. What do you think?
Issue with ET at the same time.
Well, so like it was one of those things where it was such like a 1-2 punch because it was like ET, and that was like this huge, amazing movie, and then like I was like obsessed with ET, and then like, you know, I think I was at school and I was like, ET, God, and people were like, ET, have you seen Poltergeist? Like, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? And they're like, dude, it's like horrifying. And they would like, they're like, there's a guy, and at one point he like tears his face off. And I was like, oh my God.
That was a great, I went to the house in Simi Valley because when I lived in LA, we drove past the actual house.
Does it still look like that?
Yeah, it still looks exactly the same. It's actually probably $1 million house. You know, it's in a real nice neighborhood, but yeah, it still looks the same. Trees are a little bit bigger.
God,
I think I posted on Instagram and I put the caption underneath. I want to go in here and rip off my face or something.
Do like they that. Like, I mean, they must get so much shit at that house. Like,
oh, yeah.
Would you be able to live there?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I probably would just that's something I did a lot in LA. I would go to different houses that like were famous, you know, I would just show up at like, you know, and take a picture in front of it.
I did that for the guy who played House on that show. I just went to his house.
House's house.
I'm like really into that too, going to the actual places where movies I like happen. And in LA, just kind of like you can spend a lot of time doing that. It always amazes me when I'm really into a movie and then I'll be like, oh, I know where that is now. Yeah. It kind of takes me out of the movie a little bit. It kind of ruins the world for me. Do you ever have that where I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, like Better Off Dead, I was rewatching recently, and I'm like, oh, I lived near there. It's like weird, like ruined the illusion of that world of that movie.
It's not fake anymore.
It just, you know, I would have this, it seemed like a different universe world, and I'm like, oh, it's just in LA, just, okay.
I used to live around the corner from the Seven Seas apartment building from The Karate Kid.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, it's still there now. And
where was that? Was it in Messina? It is in Reseda.
Yeah, it's actually, and it's on like what is it on? It's It's not on Sherman Way. It's on the next one up. I forget what it is, but yeah, yeah, it's really there. And now when I see it, it's like, I know where that is because I would drive past it all the time.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Me too.
I almost don't.
Now when I was like five and like, I think like kindergarten, which is like, we all took karate at the time after it came out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great. I still watch it. And it's weird. That Cobra Kai show, I don't like, I think because I like the movie so much.
I thought the first season of Cobra Kai was really well done, where they kind of continued it. But after that, it just kind of turned into like a soap opera.
Yeah, it did. The first season, I was like, yeah. But then like, I watched, people were like, oh, keep watching, the new season's good. And I watched it and I was like, I just can't get into this. It's just, yeah. I don't like that he's like, that he's a dick now, that he's the asshole now. I just I don't like that Johnny is, I want my Karate Kid just how it was. I want to preserve that. I kind of hate that sometimes when they continue stories I like and they ruin them with them being, doing something shitty or something. I'm like,
it's gotten so out of, like every season they switch teams and everybody's going every way and now they're all teamed up. And
I know, and I don't like any of the new kids. None of the new kids do it for me.
Oh, they're and they're all terrible actors too. I do like what's his name, Thomas Ian Griffin, who played Terry Silver.
I love him.
The Karate Kid 3. I thought
it was too. I like it because it's so bad. I really it's
Mike
really
Barnes
bad.
Is back, the bad boy of karate.
The bad boy of karate. Yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah, I love the third one. All right, what's your next one?
What a great script though. Just how like it's like just the ending's great. Does the fucking the kick?
You mean the first one?
The first Karate Kid. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the script, that's a great movie.
Great ending. One of the greatest endings of all time.
The ending really, it always gets me. It's very heartwarming, and you really feel. That's why I don't like it that they're like, oh, now this kid's a dick, and you're like, but. No, you can tell it was really like the script was really well written. They put a lot into it. That's why you can tell the second one feels very like rushed. Yeah. And the third one, it's just like, yeah, just do it again. Just write the first one again.
And then they made one with Hilary Swank that I've never seen.
I didn't see that one. I was dumb, but I did see the remake with Jaden Smith. I
never saw that one either.
It's not. He's too young. It's like, it's weird. He's like 11 or something.
He's so unlikable. Just
he's like, he wasn't as unlikable as he is now, but it's just, you know, I love the original so much. It was going to be hard to get me. But it's just like weird. He's like, he's really small in it. And I'm like, this kid's too.
He's supposed to be a teenager.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know. It just wasn't that good. But anyway, we might not get through all these movies, but maybe we could do it again on another one. What's your next one?
My next one, it's not exactly a house, but it's a movie I saw yesterday, actually. And I loved it. It's called Absentia. It's Mike Flanagan's first movie. It's on.
Is
Tubi
that the guy who did Dr. Sleep?
Yes, he did Dr. Sleep. He does all like the haunting movie series.
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of like the hot new horror guy, right?
Yeah, he does all those series on there. He did Dr. Sleep. He did this movie Oculus. He does all like Stephen King shit really well. But it's basically about, it's a tunnel. It's this tunnel that goes under the 134. It's in Glendale. And this woman's husband disappeared like 7 years ago. And basically it kind of takes on the fable of like a troll under the bridge, all these people start disappearing. Like they go into it and all these people have disappeared around the neighborhood.
When did this come out?
2010, I think. It's on Tubi. Tubi's great.
Yeah, you know what? Tubi is great. Like that's become like a like on the sneak coming up behind, right?
It's like Netflix was like 10 years ago, where it has all the old horror movies and all like you know, old TV shows, old like action shit.
Yeah, it's that's become kind of one of my new favorite ones. So wait, what's the name of that again?
Absentia.
Okay, I'm gonna have to write that down.
Yeah, I guess what absentia is when someone disappears and they're gone for long enough, you can declare them dead. So this guy's gone for like 7 years. So it's his wife.
How do you find all these? Like, how do you just randomly?
I just kind of go on deep dives, you know. And I'll like go on Tubi. I'll see the movies. I'll look it up on my phone. See what it is. See if it's
yeah. Do you ever have this happen where like this happens to me actually on Tubi a lot now, where I'll be looking for something and then I just go. I mean, it must happen to everyone. I get lost in these like wormholes of movies, and I'm like, what is this? I've never heard of this movie. And then I look it up and then I'll watch like a minute of it. And it's like the worst thing I've ever seen. It's so weird, but it's fascinating to me. I'm like, someone made this and it's like online.
And it's so, some of them are so low budget. It looks like it was filmed with a video camera in the 80s. And I can't get into it.
I hate to, so I think we're going to run out of time in like 45 seconds. So can we pick it up on another and do this like a part two?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And then like maybe even like, I don't know, like a week or so, whenever you're ready, whenever you have time.
We're going to continue the haunted house.
Yeah, let's do that. Or I'll message you. Maybe we can do another one too.
Yeah.
But okay, Tyler Tice, we'll see you in part two. And everyone, thanks again. I'll talk to you. Here, hang on a second. Okay. I think it's going to end. Okay. We'll see you guys next time. And I'll be in touch with you. All right. I'll message you. All right. Yeah. Thanks, man.
Later.
Bye-bye.